Right. Good morning. My name's Robert, if we haven't met before. And yes, I'll be continuing on in our different series today, and I'll be talking to us about wealth. I've got three or four copies of this little Matthias Media handout, The Secret of Contentment. If you want to see me after the service to think a little bit more about it, I'm happy to give you a copy. Belated Happy New Year to all you financy people out there too, by the way. And just quietly, you've actually picked a really good day to come along to church. Because God willing, I'm going to send you all home rich. I'll pray and then we'll make a start on today's passage. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you that you're a loving and gracious God. Lord, we thank you for the wealth and the time and the place that we live. Lord, we pray that you would help us to think well about the reason we have wealth and the way that we can use it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever stopped to consider just how blessed we are to live in Australia? Have you ever stopped to think about how much materially blessed we are to live in this time and this place, in Australia, in the year 2017? You don't have to go far to realise just how materially blessed we are. In fact, if you go over to the ditch, over to New Zealand, you would lose 20% of your income per year. If you were to go a little further over to somewhere like Greece or Poland, you would actually lose 50% of your income each year for being in that country. As far as 2017, if we were to go back 100 years to the year 1917, you would have received $2.27 a week as your average wage. I know what you're thinking. Things back then were much cheaper. And you'd be right. You'd be able to buy a loaf of white bread, or a loaf of bread at least, for about 4 cents. So you'd be able to buy 56 loaves of bread for your weekly wage. In today's terms, you would be able to buy 56 loaves of bread at about $4 a loaf for your Centrelink payment, for your New Start allowance. In fact, you would have a little bit of money left over to buy some butter to go with your bread. We live in a wealthy time and place. But what are we to do with our wealth? Well, if you listen to the radio and the ads on it and the ads that are on the TV, the ads that come through your social media feed, the ads that pop up on the sidebar when you're trying to Google something more important, you would think that we're supposed to use wealth on ourselves, that we should spend our wealth on us to power our life, to spend our wealth on doing the things that make us who we are, to spend the wealth on making us feel safe and secure, significant. We're to use our wealth to power our lives. But is that a good use of our wealth? Is that what we're meant to use our wealth for? No, not at all. In fact, it's quite a poor use of our wealth. Let's pick up and see how Paul puts it in today's passage. So read with me from verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into a temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. You see, there is two problems with using wealth to power your life. The first problem is that we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. Using your wealth to power your life is only good for this life. Wealth has no power beyond this life. It has no power over death. You cannot power your life with wealth beyond this life. And because you can't do that, and the other problem with wealth, the second problem, is that wealth is bound up, bound by the law of diminishing return. Although it promises to power your life, it promises to provide what you need to give you the security and significance you desire, it only gives you glimpses of it for a time, and then those feelings fade and pass. And then you need more money to re-establish them again, and then they pass. And then you need more money to re-establish them. Powering your life with wealth requires an infinite amount of wealth. You need a never-ending supply of money to do it. And because it is your life, you will justify doing anything to get that amount of money. If you fall into the temptation, into the trap that wealth and money can power your life, then you will justify many kinds of evil. That is how it becomes the root of many kinds of evil. Because it is your very life at stake. So you need the money. You need the wealth to support it. If you look at the beginning of the passage with me, that's what's going on for these false teachers. Read with me from verse 4. They are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversy and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and consistent friction between people of a corrupt mind who think and have been, and who have been robbed of the truth, and who think that godliness is a means of financial gain. You see, the false teachers are saying anything they need to extract money out of their hearers. They need the money to power their life. They've fallen into the trap, into the temptation that money really can power your life. In biblical times, it wasn't uncommon for children to be sacrificed to a god. It was a common practice for children to be sacrificed to appease a god. It was clearly an evil thing to do. But are we any better today? When we take the promotion that requires more responsibility and more hours at work, when we continually say yes every time to the overtime for the extra money, for the extra wealth, when we kick off our new small business and we pour hours and hours of our time into getting it up and running, are we not neglecting time with our children? Are we not neglecting the time that we need to spend speaking God's words of eternal life, real life into their hearts and instructing them in the fear of the Lord? Are we not sacrificing them to the God of wealth, to the God of money? Maybe you're not sacrificing your children. Maybe you're just sacrificing your wife. Maybe you're just sacrificing significant other relationships in your life, your family and your friends. You see, if you fall into the temptation and into this trap that money and wealth can power your life, you will need an infinite amount of money. And you will justify many kinds of evil to achieve that end. And your life will be wandering around, piercing yourselves with many griefs. But if you're here today and you've put your trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, if you've made the good confession that there is only one God who is able to give life, then you have been given a new life in Jesus, powered by God forever. Take a look with me at how Paul puts it from verse 11. But you, man of God, or woman of God. Flee all of this. Flee the temptation to believe that money really can power your life. Flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God, who gives life to everything. You see, if you've made the confession that Jesus is Lord, if you trust in him for the forgiveness of your sins, then you have been given a new and eternal life. You have the sure hope of eternity, the sure hope of living with him forever in perfection, where you will need nothing and lack nothing. This life is powered by God. The last month or so at work, I've been doing some upgrades to the propagation facility that I work at. I've been working really closely with another colleague as we glue pipes together and make things happen. Use the term loosely. But he's been pretty excited because apparently there was a big lotto draw. There was a $20 million draw. And so as we worked together, he would often reference fixing a problem that we were discussing with when I win my $20 million. At some point over the week or so, he asked me, what would I do if I won the $20 million? I answered him straight away, the same as you, mate. I'd probably give a fair chunk of it away to family and friends, my church and other charities. Not a bad answer, but it revealed my heart, didn't it? I answered him just like that. It revealed that I'd thought about money and wealth and how it could fix my life, how it could power my life. See, it's the stepping stone. It's the slippery slope. It's the temptation to believe that money can power my life. It can make my life better. But I don't need money and wealth to power my life, to make it good. What I need is Jesus' forgiveness. I need my sins forgiven, my debt wiped clean. I need to fight the good fight of the faith until Jesus comes back and takes me to real joy, to the real treasure that lays in heaven, perfection, where there will be nothing that I lack and nothing that I need. For my God will be with me and he will power and sustain me forever. So if my life is powered by God and I don't need to use my wealth to power it and my money to power my life, then what am I to do with my wealth? What are we to use our wealth for? Well, let's read on from verse 17 and find out. Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation in the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. You see, if you put your hope in God, then you have a firm, then you have eternity with no needs. So we're free to use our wealth. God has given it to us to enjoy. We can enjoy our wealth. We can enjoy it to do good. We can enjoy it to be rich in good deeds. We can enjoy giving it away. We can enjoy sharing it with others who need it. We are free to enjoy our wealth. We are free to do good with it. We are free to be good, to do good deeds. We are free to be generous and to share our wealth with those around us. I think sharing our wealth is a good place to start, because I think we're all got sufficient wealth that we could share. I think if we looked in our kitchen at home, we'd find some things that we could share. Maybe you've got a bar mix, maybe a popcorn maker, one of those thermal thingies, thermal something, what are they? Mixers, thermal mixers. Yeah, maybe you've got one of them you could share. Maybe down the shed you've got some tools. Maybe you've got a lawnmower, a brush cutter, maybe a power drill, chainsaw maybe if you're lucky. Back up in the house, maybe you could share your Wi-Fi. Maybe you've got some books in your library you could share. Maybe you've got a university textbook that you could share. I've got a trailer at home you can share, a box trailer. It's a beauty. You can borrow it any time you like. Belongs to my mother-in-law. There's another trailer at my place, though. It's actually a soft-wall camper trailer. My wife and I, a little under 12 months ago, decided that we'd buy a soft-floor camper trailer so that we could take holidays and show our kids God's good creation. We spent $12,000 on our camper trailer. We spent a further $5,000 on kitting it out with the camping gear required for a family of six to go away. I don't really have the money to replace it if it was to get damaged. It's a canvas tent. It tears and cuts relatively easy. It's a little bit flammable. And it gets mouldy and mildewy quite easily. If I was to lend it to someone, they might get rear-ended and damage the trailer itself. What happens if I promise to lend it, but then I actually need it myself? But God says he's given me my wealth that I could share it. And in doing so, that I would take hold of life that truly is life. So I'll put it on the common. The common is a part of our website that you can list things that you are willing to share with the rest of the church family. You can list the wealth that you want to share with other people on the common. So you can log on to the Southern Cross website and go to the common page, and apparently there's a form you can fill out there with and list all the things that you've got that you would like and are willing to share with those in our church family. And then they can call you up and borrow it. If that's a bit complicated, you can simply email the office and they'll put them up there for you as well. Sharing our possessions is a great way of multiplying our wealth. It's a great way to be able to, it's a great way of multiplying our wealth. You see, if I'm willing to share my camper trailer, then the person who's borrowing it doesn't need to spend the $12,000 on getting one themselves. They are free to be generous with their money. They are free to give it away. They are free to enjoy giving their money away. I think when it comes to giving, we think about it in the same way as Bible reading and prayer. We think that it should happen spontaneously and that that would be great. But it's not really the case. Like Bible reading and prayer, giving is better done with thought and consistently, so that the money that you're giving meets its mark. It meets the needs of the people who are receiving it. There's two ways that you can look at giving your money away. There's two ways that you can do it. Before I talk about that, there's a couple of principles that the Bible lays out about the way we should give our money and the purposes for that. The first thing is that, first principle is that we should give our money not just to supply the needs for people in this lifetime. As good as it is to give money to not see children starve, if they don't know that they need Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, they will eventually die and they will miss out on eternity. And as good as it is to give money to a women's shelter and provide them with safety in this current age, if they don't learn about their great need for Jesus and the eternal shelter that he can provide for them in eternity, then it is of not great value. So I encourage you to give that God may be glorified, that your wealth would be used to show people their need for the kingdom of God. And the other principle is like concentric circles, that we should give our money to the people that are closest to us first and then move out from there. In fact, a better way to think about it might be to think about it as family. When you put your trust in Jesus, you become a part of God's family, and it's a worldwide family. All the believers around the world are in God's family, in our family. But we are in the family of God's believers here in Australia, here in Lismore, here at Southern Cross Presby Church. So we'll start giving to our immediate family first and supply their needs and then move out from there. So we might start by giving to the church. We might start by giving to the church's common fund. The church's common fund is a fund set up to supply the needs of people in our church who fall on hard time. And from there, you might give to some charities in Lismore, in Australia, and then around the world. I really don't want to limit you here. You are really free to enjoy the blessing that comes from being generous with your wealth, to take hold of the new life that really is life when you share and give away your wealth. There's two ways that you can do this. There's a way that Gillian Coutts mentioned at the beginning of this term, which is just start giving. Pick an amount of money and give it to the church. Give it to a charity or a Christian organisation. Just give something. And then a few months later, assess it. If you still have wealth, give some more. Give some more to the same, give some more to a different charity. Reassess it a little while later. If you still have wealth, give some more. You can feel free to take verse 8 as literally as you like. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. The other way to do it is to go the budget. List your income, list your expenses, rent, phone, electricity, after school stuff, food, entertainment. Just list all your expenses. List all the things you want to be generous towards, the church, the common fund, whatever other organisation, whatever other people you would like to give money to. Now, this can be a little intimidating, particularly if you're not good at maths and you're not good with finance. If that's you, I ask you to consider being humble, to seek help. Seek someone you trust to help you get started. There's lots of forms and budgetary apps out there, spreadsheets that can help you do this. I say this that you would be able to enjoy using your wealth to do good, that you would enjoy taking hold of the new life, that you'd be able to participate in the storing up of treasure in heaven, the laying of the firm foundation. Run a budget. The good thing about having a budget is it allows you to see what's happening and what you're doing with your money. It allows you to manipulate it and know where your money's going. If you know of a need for $20 a month, in a particular organization, you can look through your budget. You can go, my $60 phone plan a month that I have there, maybe I could give it a crack with a little bit less data. Maybe I need to connect up to some Wi-Fi around the place. I can drop that to a $40 plan and I can use the extra money for the giving to that organization. It gives you the freedom to be able to have a family discussion about money and the way you use it. You can sit down with your children and talk to them about money. QuizWorks had a winter appeal. Basically, they had an appeal to try and balance their books before the end of the financial year. You could sit down with your children and discuss about giving away wealth to meet that need. Perhaps they'll be willing to give up some after-school activity for a term, and then you could slide the $100 across as a donation to them. I really don't want to limit you here, but there's some ideas. What really don't want to limit you, it is your wealth and God has given it to you to enjoy. He's given it to you to enjoy doing good. The other thing is about running a budget. If you've got all your needs listed there in front of you and they're all met, you get a pay rise. Where do you allocate the money? I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm not trying to make you give money to the church. I'm trying to set you free that you could enjoy your wealth, that you could enjoy doing good with it. You could enjoy doing good deeds, that you would take hold of the life that truly is life in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you that you're a loving and kind God. Lord, we thank you in Christ Jesus. We have an eternity in wait for us that lacks nothing, that we have a life that will go on forever. Lord, help us to be generous with our wealth. Lord, help us to enjoy using it for good. Lord, help us to enjoy using it to spread the good news of eternity to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.